The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and the Bot. Good morning. Except it's Thursday, so Linda is on the spot with Linda Bot, and I'm here with Trish Clark.
Good morning. Love Thursday mornings, and it's not even raining out there.
You know what? This is, do I sound different this morning? A little bit, because it sounds different to me in my headphones or something. Are we adjusted in my hair and everything?
I will look.
Yeah. It's your job. You should look and make me sound better than I am.
My job is to watch the stream.
Well, the reason that
multitasking this morning, many things to do.
That's one of your jobs, because every so often
check the temperature and answer the phones and watch the chat room and
that's your job. I mean, that's your job. That's what people do that sit in your chair, isn't it? Watch the stream. You have to check that every so often. Make sure that that we're streaming live, and then you have to answer phone calls because people call in, and make sure that Linda and I or Trish or anybody else sitting in here's voices go out over there. Bob, you are the man. You are the spider in the web. Yeah. Hey, our phone line's here, 605-4567, and we're streaming live because they're sitting here whining about it, that we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com.
And it's 49 degrees in downtown Reading, and we're expecting showers mainly before 4 p.m., a high around 51 today. Calm winds becoming southeasterly around 5 p.m. A 30% chance of showers mainly before 10 p.m. tonight, and about a 50% chance of rain tomorrow. The weather is brought to us, as always, by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends. They're locally owned and operated. They give veterans and senior discounts, and you can give them a call at 365-3793.
Okay, hey, today an open house from 4 to 7 p.m. in the City Hall Community Room for REU, and they're going to talk about the 2020 Draft Strategic Plan. We'll outline REU's business plan for the next 5 years. It's going to help prepare REU to face a dynamic and competitive electric industry while striving to improve its delivery of valued services to the Reading community and to provide raises to the employees. Well, I'm sorry. That last part wasn't in there. I just added that. Now, you know what? The REU people are out there, and they are having this draft strategic plan. It's going to be today. Head on down there, because you know what? If you're not involved in it, then don't complain about it.
You know, and as we make comments about any of the organizations, the city organizations, we always need to remember that when we're complaining about salary raises or we're complaining about something that happens at the city council level or perhaps the management level, we're not talking about anything that we have against any of the employees. Those people are just doing their job.
Hey, you know what?
And they take home the paycheck that somebody up above them votes to give them. They belong to a union. That's all out there, and we don't have any issues with that.
You know, you're right, and I'll tell you, the other I do have some issues. Oh, no, that's not true, because I do have some issues with the raises that we have and some of the management positions. The management positions, $15,000 to $20,000 a year raises, and I don't see the guys on the streets getting those raises. In fact, you know, the guys working with electricity, you can't see it, but it can kill you, working with that. And the city clerks, I mean, you've had nothing, but, you know, everybody usually, at least in my case, never had but great, you know, great, service from it. So when we're talking about these and we're pinging around, it's usually, you know, it's almost always, well, it's always about when you get up to the upper management levels. Which, by the way, the city council approves. There you go. See, so really, it's not even the city. And if you know, why is the city council approving things like this? Those kind of things.
That's exactly.
There you go.
You know, this great republic that we live in, we have a representative form of government. We, the people, choose the people that make the decisions that run our lives.
And
careful, it's a big responsibility, and we ought to pay more attention to what we're doing.
I was just bringing that up with Carl yesterday, is that we do have representative government, but you hear from people constantly that, oh, no, every decision needs to be vetted by the community. Then why have representatives?
We've gotten ourselves into this whole philosophy about I have the right to vote on this. The people should decide. You do not live in a democracy in this country. You live in a republic.
And there's a reason for that. Even though there's been some criminal law decisions made up at the Supreme Court level that say that, no, it's one man, one vote. Well, it's not. It's a republic, and which is one of the reasons the state of Jefferson has come into, come into light, is because, the idea of one borough in Los Angeles outvoting everybody up here in Northern California just isn't right. It's not fair. You know, they have no concept. And frankly, nor should they. I have no concept what it's like to live in West or South L.A. I don't really want to know. But I would like to think is that the decisions I made would be fair for everybody. But obviously,
They can't make decisions for us because they don't know what our circumstances are.
But
that's why we should have equal representation, so our voice is being heard.
That's right. And, the other thing, the part about that is if we had equal representation at that point, then if decisions are made, then you've got nothing. You know what? Guess what, guys? That's too bad.
Then you voted
in the wrong guy. So.
Well, and there's something to be said about that in every election as well, isn't there?
Well, let's go to Roberta. Roberta, good morning, Roberta. How are you, Roberta?
Good morning, Carl.
Are we getting going early here today or what?
You betcha, and I love it. My comment is, yes, we are a republic, and we have a representative government. However, if we don't know what's going on, how do we advise our government and our representatives how we feel about it and what we would like?
You're absolutely right, and that's the key, Roberta, because too many people put people in office and then never pay any attention to what they do until something hits them smack in the forehead, and then they want to get involved in that. But if they'd have been paying attention all along, perhaps that person could have been advised to make a different decision.
Well, that's right. And we really do have to take responsibility and let our representatives know how it is we wish them to govern.
But then, on the other hand, we need to know.
It's going to be a wonderful show this morning, and I'll be listening.
Okay,
thanks, Roberta.
Thanks.
Nice speaking with you.
We're going to have, today we're going to have on, Rick Bassetti's going to be on. Mayor Bassetti's going to
be on. Oh, good.
And perhaps the our city attorney, Rick DuVernay. I've invited him, and he said he was antsy at that point.
And they want to talk about?
We're going to talk about what are we going to talk about? It's funny that, you have people that support the selling of the land to McConnell Foundation so Turtle Bay can move forward and so we can do something with this. We did. The paper did, but we both have said, at least I've said, and then I just saw an editorial today is, it's one thing to, the land sale portion of it is one thing, but not telling the people about that clawback.
Real estate transactions, closed session. I go back and forth on that, but I'm thinking that if in fact there's a payback clause someplace in that grant,
somebody should have known
that should have been out there where everybody, certainly every member of the city council.
at least tell them. You know, and
I realize.
Being
aware of
and
it.
They realize that as soon as you tell something to Jones and Cat, it's going to go out to the. I mean, it does. It goes out. Or whoever. Whoever's dog is in the fight, they're going to leak that to somebody.
Well,
and whether it's Jones, Cat, Missy, Francie, or
okay,
Rick.
Okay, but I'm just going to say that if, in fact, that information, as I understand it, is disclosed to those council members strictly under the confines of closed session, it better not be leaked out there.
Well.
I'm just saying. Then we ought to start doing something about that, because closed sessions are supposed to be, you're not supposed to be talking
well,
about
maybe
it.
Maybe they are, but then how do the people get to know? People don't need to know. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying that there are certain issues that come up in closed session. Let's say personnel issues.
But these never came up, I don't think. That's the question.
Okay, and that's the question. The question is only one member, as I understand, and a member of the committee had that information, but it was never disclosed in closed session.
We got to take a break, but yeah, you're right. This was something that was during the negotiations came out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not even sure. Well, we'll find out. We'll ask Rick. I don't even think he knew about it until then. And the answer to your question is yes. Mr. DuVernay has provided, he has offered his resignation, but he did that before all this happened. So even the question was, is it true the city attorney has submitted his resignation? Yes, but it was a couple weeks before any of this broke. I'm here with Trish Clark, and we're going to be right back after these messages.
You're listening to a best of Free Fire Radio for this Thanksgiving Day. More after this.
Howdy, North State football fans. Nate Aberea here. What a season it's been here in the North State, and we got one more game for you. It's the D2 Northern Section Championship. This Saturday night, the reigning Kings, Reading's own Enterprise Hornets, host the Pleasant Valley Vikings of Chico. Reading Kia pregame show at 6:30, kickoff at 7. It's Enterprise and Pleasant Valley, Saturday night, on the North State's radio home for local football, KCNR, 1460.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Redding, California.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, here to wish you a safe and happy holiday season. While spending time with family this joyous time of year, keep in mind some simple signs that mom and dad may be needing some more help at home. Many families notice changes in their loved ones while seeing them over the holidays. Is the mail stacking up? Have you seen past due notices? Have mom or dad forgotten to turn off appliances or failed to lock the doors at night? Check the refrigerator for food freshness and expiration dates. And check medications. Are they being refilled timely and taken properly? For more tips and information on how you can help, visit ReadingHomeHelpers.com or call me, Sharon, for an in-home assessment and learn more about Home Helpers and our many home care services. Call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or visit us online at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. This holiday season, give your loved one the gift of safely remaining at home. Happy holidays from Home Helpers.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
You're listening to a previously broadcast encore presentation of Free Fire Radio. Happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome back.
Do you hear me?
Yeah. Carl Bott and Trish Clark, good morning. It is a Thursday, November the 20th. Good morning, everybody. It's 49 degrees. Well, what is it? You know what? What is the temperature out there? Because it's been 49 for 4 days. What,
I think
what's
that's
the temperature?
About accurate.
Is that right?
So it's only
going
to be 51 today.
That is, in fact, the current temperature at several stations. One of the few times that several stations have actually agreed.
Okay, and it's only going up to 51 today.
Only
going
to get up to 51.
Hey, how'd you sleep last night?
I slept marvelously well.
Great segue, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, my sleep number setting is 45. I'm bringing it up.
It's coming right up there with the big boys and
up
girls.
There. Yeah, I am going up with the. I'm going up with my. Yeah, it is. I'm going out so I can wear my. I can get out of my pajamas with feet in them and get up into my regular jammies here. You know what? But though, with all the stuff that's going on, I mean, we had Mount Shasta Mall in here yesterday. Guess what? They've already started like doorbuster deals. Linda was there yesterday, but on Thanksgiving evening, starting at 6 p.m. You know, then it starts. But extra traveling, extra shopping, schedules, everything with everything that's going on, everybody's sleep patterns start changing. But the one thing that stays the same is your sleep number bed.
Yes, it does.
And your now with the new Sleep IQ technology that shows what. It shows you what affects your sleep for better or for worse, and it can even help you with snoring. Can you believe this? You know what? This new technology they've added to these new beds, to the sleep number beds, are just fantastic. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to wear anything. You just have to sleep. And this is one of the Sleep IQ technology. But
and sleep you do if you've got your number dialed in.
And you've had yours for what, 20 years?
Over 10 years.
Over 10 years. And we've talked to other people who've had them over 20 years and love these beds. We love our bed. And right now, you can save $300 on a Sleep Number P5 bed, the most popular bed. And, you know, but to find out everything that you need to know about sleeping, because what a great Christmas present to give to each other is to a good night's sleep for the next 20 years.
You know, and they have wonderful deals on the accessories that go with your bed, pillows and sheets and all kinds of things that are made especially for that great night's sleep.
You've actually got dual temp things you can put on there. So one can sleep colder than the other. Head on down and see Brian and Janice in the Target Shopping Center. They're going to tell you what a great night's sleep is, and they're going to help you achieve that. What do you think about Obama in his he's going to sign an executive order. They're saying is that, even though it hasn't been done, that it's that's going to have 5 million people. 5 million people safe from deportation, not people, illegals safe from deportation. And the reactions range from, oh, that's not enough, to we're going to march on the White House and burn it down. I mean, oh my God. I mean, this is huge. And I mean, I can't figure out. So Trish, you've been in politics a lot. You know, you've been in politics. Why would a man sign an executive order about something, you know, to do something like this, that's putting a thumb in the people's eye after he and his policies have suffered one of the worst losses in political history? Why would he turn around and do this instead of at least trying to work with the Republicans, with the Congress, and doing something that he said he could never do because he didn't have the right to do it?
For me, it's absolutely not a mystery. This man had his agenda. He knew exactly where he was going. He's kind of once in a while played along with people and tried to pass some legislation. But if you look back over the last 6 years, he hasn't made an attempt to deal even with his own party, let alone with the other side. He has his agenda. He only has 2 more years to fulfill it. And bottom line, nobody's stopping him. The Republicans, the Republican mainstays, the mainstream people in power back there, have no intention of challenging him. They're not going to. They've taken impeachment off the table. They said no, they can't do that. They're so afraid that the press is going to accuse them of being politically incorrect, that they accuse them of being
racist.
Racist. Our mainstay, Republicans are not going to do anything to stop him. He's going to fly in now, all of the parents, for all the kids that he streamed over here, so the children don't have to be alone, and make them all citizens. Where are we seeing that, and why aren't the people angry?
According to what I've read, it's not a citizen. It's not an automatic citizenship. What he's doing is he's saying these people will not be deported, and they will get a green card. So imagine what this is going to do to the economy and all the, you know, of our Hispanic friends who are out there with jobs. That, you know, now you've got, you know, 5 million other people that are going to come in here and go for your jobs.
Well, not only the Hispanics. Let's just, before we go to the phones.
Right. It's tech jobs. It's high tech jobs. It's all the jobs.
The population that's suffering the most that you hardly hear about as a result of all of Obama's policies and bringing in more and more and more Hispanic populations, replacing the Hispanics that are here. How about the black population?
Oh, they're just getting hammered.
Well, there you go. The
black population
is straightening everything out for them.
The black population already. More in jail, less working, more single family.
First black president supposed to represent these people and pull them out of the guns, and he's burying them.
Let's go to the phones. Bob, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, take a deep breath. Relax.
Okay.
I was going to comment on my seat number now is 45. Down from the manly 65. There have been nights when I slept 5-6 hours and woke up in the same position I went to sleep in.
Wow.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. And as immigration, I don't understand what is so difficult about securing the border, making it illegal to hire illegals, and cutting off their welfare. What's the problem?
He does not want to do that. That's the whole thing. There is nothing difficult about it.
The Republicans could do that this time.
But they're not going to.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
They're not going to.
But you're right. I'm not going to hire anybody here that's here illegally. I'm going to shut the border down, which is going to help, the Hispanics and our country by keeping not only just people here that to work, but also terrorists from coming across the border. All these. And the fact is that there is a lot of room here for changes in immigration reform, but it's going to end up like Obamacare, that it's hammering people and it eventually takes away their rights.
But that is the point, Carl, and that's what I've been trying to say. You know, I recognize this guy from day one. He has an agenda. He came in. He hates this country. He wants to destroy it. He's made that perfectly clear. We need to be punished because we've been a pretty bad group of people all in all, in his mind.
I like it. The approval rating
is still 40.
Yeah, and so he's going to punish us.
The whole thing is that here's a man that does not accept the fact that people have not joined him on his path this way, and he's going to do it no matter what anybody says. Frankly, he's going to do it no matter what anybody says, because it's going to be like, so what? His whole agenda is going to be based on two words: so what.
So what are you going to do?
I signed it. So what?
But here's the deal: we do have people in power who can stop him.
We'll see.
But they won't.
Well, then you know what? Then you know what he's going to do? The next time he's going to sign something, an executive order, it's going to be even more. He's got 2 years.
Unless
they take a stop. Now, Bill Whelan from Hoover Institute says, let him do it. Then go after everybody that this affects. And go and talk to the Hispanic community. Talk to the black community. Go out there and from this, say, this is a man. This is what he's doing. This is not good for America. And then you take the 2016 election and you change everything. You get the president. You hold the Senate instead of losing some of them back. You hold the Senate. You hold the House. And you elect a Republican. And you change it all.
As long as you have the majority of the population, and we do, listening to the mainstream press, who are they're not telling them the story about whose fault any of this is. I talk to people on a daily basis, even in conservative North State, let alone people in other areas, that honestly do not believe that Obama isn't his fault. It is not his fault. It's those damn Republicans, excuse my French.
Conservatives say that?
No, but people, the majority of the people. That's what I'm saying.
I think I was unfriendly.
They do not understand.
This one guy used to have stuff on my
on my Facebook all the time, and I would listen to his prattle. And frankly, it was, you know, I think he's unfriended me because I haven't seen him. I never put a comment on his page. Anyway, thanks a lot for the phone call, Bob.
You're welcome. See you later.
All right, you betcha. Thanks for listening. You know what? I haven't seen him in a long time, so maybe he unfriended me. I'm going to have to go out and look. Maybe he's just been ill. I have to. You know what? If he's been ill, I'll have to. Maybe he just doesn't feel good after the election. And the other one, who's the other one? This one, McDonald, who hates all Republicans, thinks everybody should be, you know, tried for treason.
Yes.
Well, if you're a Republican. I haven't heard from Rob lately. Rob, if you're listening, come on, give us a call.
You know, here's the part that bothers me. There is absolutely no reason in the world why the Republicans, they have tools.
Hey, let's go to the phones. Jay, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey,
good morning, Jay.
Hey, how you doing, Jay?
Doing really well. You know, I've been meaning to come by.
Yeah.
Talk to you. Let's bring you up today on what's going on. But I did have two questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yes.
One is, what exactly is an executive order? How what kind of powers does it actually have? I mean, in the Constitution. And secondly, what recourse do other branches of government have against it?
I think the executive order is that it just, you know, it's something that that can be implemented without congressional approval. You know, so it does have that power. But the other thing is I think then is Congress can defund that portion of it. They can defund portion, you know, if he says, hey, I'm gonna start a NASA again, we're gonna start going for the moon one more time, and Congress just says, well, no, we need our money for something else, so I'm gonna defund it. Or like they did during Vietnam, when they defunded all of the arms money that was going to go back to South Vietnam just so they could fight North Vietnam, the Congress defunded that, and so the North came down to take the South. So you can defund it.
But you can, but in order to defund anything, and we keep talking about that option, but in fact they've taken that option away from themselves ever since he's been in office, because they continue to adopt these continuing resolutions which cover a whole year and cover everything. They have not gone through the budget process.
An omnibus. Now
they have not gone through the budget process in 6 years.
Well, they did last year. They went through the process, and they actually passed a budget.
Bill by bill?
Well, they passed a budget. But this year, they've got Republicans in both the House and the Senate.
So they could do it. They're getting ready to pass a year's bill as we speak.
We have to run. Jay, thanks for the question. That's a good question.
And I'll come by and talk to you later today. All right.
And actually, the Supreme Court can overturn an executive order if it's brought to their attention.
Oh, this will go to court, but it'll take 2 years.
And all of these executive orders have not been constitutional.
No, I think some of them have been turned back. All right. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Listening to the best of Free Fire Radio for this Thanksgiving Day. More after these messages.
The weather outside is frightful, but the wine over on the west side is delightful. Westside Wines at 1872 Buenaventura is your new hotspot for holiday cheer. Whether you are a wine newbie or you really know your vintages, the wine educators at Westside Wines can help you find that perfect bottle. From beautiful Bordeaux to crisp Chardonnays, their rare boutique finds will surely delight you. Westside Wines wishes you a sparkling Christmas.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
The City of Reading Water Utility wants to help you save money and be water smart. The summer is a good time to give your irrigation system a tune-up. Remove anything blocking the sprinkler heads and fix any broken ones. Look at the spray heads on your sprinklers while they're working. Adjust them to avoid overspray onto driveways and sidewalks. Excess water flowing into the gutter doesn't help your landscape, and it can pollute our creeks and rivers. Be water smart. Visit ReadingUtilities.com for more information. This message brought to you by the City of Reading Water Utility.
So, Chris, December 9th, Haven's monthly Second Tuesday Club is meeting for lunch at Jersey Mike's Subs.
Lunch in a submarine? I didn't know we had a submarine in Reading.
It's a sub sandwich location, not a submarine in the water. Sorry, folks, she tries. Join us for lunch Tuesday, December 9th at Jersey Mike's on Browning Street next to Trader Joe's. Your support will allow Haven to continue to help thousands of animals with shelter and homes as Jersey Mike's kindly donates a portion of the proceeds to Haven Humane's efforts.
I think lunch in a submarine would be really cool.
Maybe we could find you one and send you off on a tour for a really long time.
This is an encore performance of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. Happy Thanksgiving.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday at 7:35 in the morning, 49 degrees out there. Not going to be a very warm day. We're going to have rain. In fact, it rains out there already. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Veterans always get discounts there, Espresso Joe's, and the finest walk-in humidor in the state. All at Tobacco and Brew. Okay, our guests today are our mayor, Mayor Bassetti, and our city attorney, Mr. DuVernay. Good morning. Need to move
morning,
in here just
gentlemen.
A little bit. Move. Good morning.
Good morning.
Now, this started, I talked to Rick a few days ago. When all this started happening. It was like Monday morning or something
right.
like that. And the question, of course, is the sale of the land, which was over.
Right.
Sale of the land was over. Measure B had ended. Everybody was moving forward with it. And then this
still are.
And then this piece of information came out that there is and it was from what I understand it was for a discussion of the offer by for the land by Mr. Shuffleberger, and the reasons that they could not accept it. And this was where Mr. DuVernay had a list of reasons. And one of the reasons was there was a clawback possibility from a grant, an EDA, an Economic Development Agency grant from the Commerce Department. That said they could claw back 74, what a great name, claw back 74% of the purchase price of the land.
The appraised value.
No, the appraised value of the land. And this came
under
out.
Certain circumstances.
Under certain circumstances.
Change of use.
Right, change of use.
And there's requirements with every grant.
And that they had said that, you know, they looked at it, and when you read what they had written, they had it wrong. They had it said they thought that Turtle Bay Museum was being sold, and it wasn't, but... Anyway, this is what they said. This is the decision they'd made.
Really, the point of the advice to the council was there's some work to do. There's some unfinished business that needs to be taken care of that we put on the shelf, that we had an understanding with McConnell that we'll finish, and that was really not that important, and we didn't find it was insurmountable, but it just wasn't recognized in the Shuffleberger offer.
Right. And it became a... something they needed to know or to discuss because of the Shuffleberger offer?
Yeah, that's the only reason.
The McConnell Foundation knew about it, though, right?
McConnell knew about it as part of their due diligence and all that? Turtle Bay
sure.
knew about it. We knew about it.
Okay.
There was a lot of title clearing issues that had to be researched and addressed and dealt with in the course of 9 months of negotiations.
We had to hire two different surveyors to get out there to find the lines. You know, I mean, yeah. There's just a lot of, there was so much technicalities going on. And this, this issue came up, we're going, okay, and in my opinion, I'm sitting there looking at it, we'd already handled one of these EDA type of clawbacks, and I go, okay, I learned from that experience that if you're not going to change the use, which we weren't, then it's got to be an issue with them. And their
attitude. So that was the issue with Shuffleburger, is that if there was a possibility of a change of use,
that's one of them.
That's why it would have been a bigger issue.
That would be one of them. And the other fact is that within the offer that we had received there, there was no indemnification in anywhere from Mr. Shuffleburger in regards to the city as well, if anything came up. And we had that in our agreement with the McConnell
Foundation.
Both of
which could have been negotiated
with
Shuffleburger.
But the indemnification for the McConnell...
Not an offer that he... Well, maybe.
But that offer was not... But yeah. Anyway, but the indemnification from the McConnell Foundation...
But that offer wasn't real, Trish, and you know that it wasn't real.
I think that's probably not the point.
There would have been no negotiations. It was all written to be what it was.
But the indemnification by the McConnell Foundation doesn't include the clawback, does it?
It's broad. What we negotiated with McConnell was we wanted you to indemnify us from any claim... defendant indemnifies from any claim brought or any damages arising from the sale. So that means that if somebody wants to, and that included the prevailing wage issue, so we specified the prevailing wage issue, but we broadened it to include anything arising out of the sale because we didn't know if somebody might come out and challenge
what claims were going to be coming out.
Or the election, challenge the election or
and
something.
And if they wanted the land bad enough, then they would be willing to meet those conditions. And they did.
I think probably where I come down on this, and we were talking off the air a little bit, because there's no question that there's a lot of stuff that comes up in a negotiation specifically for a complicated piece of property like that. And with grants that always have those things, if this doesn't happen in 100 years, then you have to pay it back, or if the change of use, or this stops to be in this, all of those things. It seems to me, however, that if part of the city council, and this deal particularly, because, boy, it was a pressure cooker from the moment you stepped into it and started doing it. It divided the community, and it just kept boiling. If that was of no consequence, it seems to me that should have been just put out there with other pieces of information. Why try to not have it become...
Well, it didn't rise to that level, in my opinion. I made the call. Rick gave us, on our negotiating team, and gave the advice... This is what we have here, and this is what it is. Like I said a little earlier in this, we had dealt with one of these already before. In the same transaction.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a smaller grant for trail system on the east side of the boundary of where the hotel would be. And the same thing came in, and they're going, okay, well, and I think Sue did really good diligence on that, Sue Thompson, and said, well, this much of the land was affected. The trail isn't going to be destroyed. It'll be brought in as part of the project. And the EDA said, okay, we're good with that. Not a problem. And I'm going... And
so you just hadn't got to negotiation with this last one?
Well, part of it, Trish, was the timing of when that letter from EDA came to us.
Yeah.
So that letter from EDA came at the end of April.
Right.
And at that point, all the negotiations with McConnell were completed. Mm-hmm. The purchase and sale agreement had been approved by the city council. The referendum petitions were being circulated, and as you know from your experience, there's sort of, you know, when you're dealing with emotional issues and these hot issues of ballot measures and referendums and so forth, there's a time when you're sort of doing the business of government, and then you put it into the hands of the voters. Mm-hmm. So part of the reason why, you know, it wasn't appropriate to bring it back to the city council in open session or anything is they had taken their final action of approving that purchase and sale agreement, and now we were in sort of an election.
And we were in that
process.
That no man's land.
Was it March 4th you'd said that? March 4th that the vote was taken to sell the land.
Yep.
And at that point, was it known that there was a possible clawback on it?
You know, we knew that this grant was out there, and we knew the conditions were there, but we didn't know what meaning they were going to give to it. So at that point, Sue...
They being EDA.
Yeah, Sue was outreaching to EDA to get some, hey, you know, what about this? You know, and
is this going to be an issue?
It took months for them to get back to us.
Right, but I understand that. But when you took the vote, you didn't know about the clawback portion because it came in after the vote, right? The EDA didn't make up their mind until April. That's their date of their April 24th.
The clawback provision was in there. We knew about it, but we firmly believed at that time and still do that there was no way it was going to get invoked because we weren't changing the use. Exactly. And it was still going to be a museum. So the clawback provision is predicated upon it's that worst case. Well, you know, you've got to fulfill your promises. And if you don't fulfill your promises, this worst thing happens. We still believe and always have believed that that selling this land to the McConnell Foundation is furthering the purposes for which the grant was done in the first place, which is keeping the museum viable.
And then you're making a really good point here.
So what we got to do is we got to go bang our head against the wall with a bunch of bureaucrats at EDA to convince them of that.
And here's the worst case scenario. Worst case scenario is they go, okay, EDA says, you know what? If you go ahead and do this and you close this up, we want 75% of our appraised value of what's being sold. And we'll say, okay, never mind. We just won't do it until after June.
Okay, but I think
and everything's good.
You've hit on what the deal is, because those clauses are in every one of the grants that we get for everything. And I can bring this around so that people really understand. Just ignorance of the law is no excuse. Anybody who deals with all of this should be aware that if there's these grants on there, there is a change of use in every one of them.
Right. I'll
give you a perfect example of Frontier Senior Center in Anderson. Is on a grant from the Community Development Block Grants. If it ever stops being a senior center, I owe the city of Anderson $500,000. That's bottom line.
You
the organization, the corporation, has to pay that loan back.
Yeah. We've got
to
take a break here.
And that's
Charles,
out there.
Charles, you're on the line. Hang on, Charles, till we get past the break. I wanted to get this established first. We're here with Mayor Rick Bassetti and City Attorney Rick DuVernay. The reasoning behind not announcing this, the fact of the clawback and it wasn't that it wasn't known. It was felt like it had nothing to do with the sale of the land. And the fact is that the belief that they're selling the land to further the museum, so there wasn't a change, going to be a change. There wouldn't be a clawback.
It was a non-factor.
And now the EDA has said there will be a clawback, but now you can go back.
No, they haven't said that.
They said there could be.
There could be.
Okay.
They said we could invoke the provisions of the grant restrictions.
They
would if we changed the use. They would if we didn't meet their requirements.
Okay.
And our position is we're not changing anything.
So you're going back to them as we speak.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Actually, yes.
All right, we'll be right back. Carl Bott, Trish Clark.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. Happy Thanksgiving.
Can our northern counties afford to lose over 50 jobs? It doesn't make sense. Does it make sense to drive to Sacramento and back 322 miles round trip for a bottle of milk? Of course not. It doesn't make sense. What this means to you, up to 7 days turnaround time on your mail, checks and bill payments will be delayed, seniors and veterans medications will be delayed, families forced to leave the area because schools decline in enrollment, fewer people means retailers affected by loss of revenue. It doesn't make sense. What you can do, check your local area weekly newspaper in the Record Searchlight Thursday date section to sign the petition to save our local mail processing. Deadline is December 1st for names to be submitted. Just say no to the closure of local mail processing. It's the People's Post Office. Let's save it. Your name counts. You will make a difference. We need your help now. Paid for by the American Postal Workers Union. Call 223-7552 for more information. That's 223-7552.
It's beautiful this time of year. You've just got to get out and enjoy it. But achy, tired, and heavy legs can make you avoid things you love doing and keep you stuck inside with your feet up, missing out on the fun of fall. You may have venous insufficiency causing varicose veins, and treating it not only improves the appearance of your legs, it can also improve how they feel. So don't worry, you won't be stuck inside for very long. MD Imaging's board-certified vein specialists are your local vein and vascular treatment experts, trained in all the latest therapies for varicose veins. Our skilled doctors have been safely performing varicose vein treatments for over 9 years. Call MD Imaging's Vascular and Interventional Center today at 245-5945 to schedule a complimentary evaluation so you can look and feel great.
Everybody calls us. Summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's going to make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
Hi, I am Molly Kidd from the KCNR staff, and I just have to tell you about my new favorite habit, Addison's Peak Performance. Not only has the staff been nice and caring, they have been encouraging and supportive. I have even had trainers personally call me just to see how I was doing. From small group classes, booty bar, and team training, they have the right fitness schedule for you. Now I'm losing inches and feeling great. Adamson's Peak Performance, 221-8006, because why wait?
You're listening to a best of Free Fire Radio for this Thanksgiving holiday.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl Watt and Trish Clark here today. Wow, what a great day. It's going to be cold and rainy. Hey, we've got the mayor with us and the city attorney. We've got Mayor Rick Bassetti. City attorney,
12 days.
You know what? I'd love to spend a minute on this, but I'm not even going to talk about
that
yet.
Ahead,
you know, I'm not. But when you after you've walked away, you and I are going to come back, and you're going to have a whole hour. We're going to talk about
okay.
this.
We're both about, ducks.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. And Rick, Mr. DuVernay has put in for his retirement here. Anyway, we're here talking about the sale of the land, the Turtle Bay, and the fact that the Economic Development Administration of the U.S. Department of Commerce has come back and said, look, if you're selling the land, they sent a letter that said, hey, if you're going to sell it and it's not going to do this, if it's not going to be for the museum, we want 74% of the purchase price back. They've sent that letter.
And we have to convince them that that's not the case.
And you're in the process of doing that right
yes.
now.
We haven't gotten.
We will be.
The letter says if you sell the museum, they get 74% of the appraised value.
Right.
And it says that's what it says.
And you're not
has
selling
reviewed
the
city of Reading's proposal to sell the Turtle Bay Museum, which we pointed out before. Okay.
And so, we're not selling the museum.
Right. Okay. Let's go to the phones. Charles, good morning.
Yes. Good morning.
Thanks for waiting.
Yeah. If the decision regarding to refrain from. As far as I know, it was a decision to refrain from publicizing the information. It wasn't a decision to deliberately hide it. Maybe I'm ignorant about that. But, you know, if the decision to refrain from publicizing that information was so trivial to not just the land deal, but the election, Measure B, and the city council races, if it was so trivial, how do you explain the hostility with which that decision was defended at Tuesday night's city council meeting? I mean, the hostility with which that decision was defended would appear at least to betray an opposite belief to that which was stated. I'll take my answer on the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Charles.
Well, I think that was directed at me in my exchange with Mr. Catt. My hostility, as he described, was more frustration with Mr. Catt not getting to the point. Mr. Catt has the propensity for saying what he wants to say, and then he says it again, and then he says it again. And, Trish, I know you've been in those meetings. And then he says it again. And so at about the third, fourth time, I interrupted him to say, okay, we understand that you don't like this, and we need to move on here. And that's when the hostility started. And my hostility, there's not a hostility about this situation whatsoever. And whether or not to publicize it, I just looked upon this, like I said earlier in this show. This was a negotiating, this was just a factor in the land sale. And sometimes in these land sales, there might be 100 different factors. Like I mentioned earlier, the factor of being misled by the unions that there was a deal on the table to make everything go away for $500,000 that stalled our negotiations for 4 weeks. That didn't get made public.
Mr. Meredith wasn't called out by the newspapers or television or radio. You guys haven't had him on here to defend himself for that. That stalled our negotiations. So, you know, there's a lot of these different factors that happen during negotiations. And to me, it was just a factor, another factor. This did not, I was the person appointed to negotiate. I follow the counsel, not follow, but I get the counsel from advice from our attorney, and I made a call on this one.
Okay, so.
I don't, this is all going to be done in about 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or if we have to, worst case in June, and it's all going to be a non-issue.
So as you look back on it, would you make the same decision?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if the election had gone differently, I don't think it'd be as much of an issue. This is, to me, this is someone wanting to go out the door.
It wouldn't have come up because the sale wouldn't have gone through.
Yeah. And then and if Mr. Jones had been elected, I don't think he'd have been stirring the mud here. He wouldn't have had the vitriol here of a sore loser. And basically, that's what I see this is all coming. If you want to talk about anger and that sort of thing, they're talking voter fraud. Well, if anyone knows anything about voter fraud, I would imagine that some people that he's associated with knows a lot about voter fraud.
The only decision, there was no decision made to publicize it, right. No decision made to withhold it. The only decision made was sort of, you know, hit herself on the head and say, oh, I got another headache, put it on the shelf and we'll deal with it.
Right.
Let's let the voters decide whether or not this is going to McConnell, and if it is, then we'll deal with this.
That's a better way to say it.
And in worst case scenario, you could just put up the transaction past June and it goes away.
It's a non-issue. It's a non-issue.
It was always a public record. I went to the extraordinary length for the impartial analysis to put the draft on file in the clerk's office and for a month to let anybody give me comments about what they thought was important for the voters to know. The files were open. Anybody could come in and look through the files from the beginning to the end and point out anything that they thought was important. I also want to make this point. I haven't talked to one person since this has come up who voted in favor of Measure B and has come to me and said, if I had known this, I would have voted differently.
Yeah.
Nobody. I would love to hear from somebody that says, if I had known this, I would have voted no on B, and I haven't heard that.
You know, when I think that I wouldn't have voted differently than I did. And, you know, y'all know we supported this. I wish, though, that you know, and this is my fault, is that there's so many things that – how many codicils were to the sale of the land? How many of these were existing? 10, 20, 5?
Oh, gosh, I don't know how many different easements and different grants and things were involved in this. I don't know. It took
25 issues.
Yeah.
We probably had 25
issues that took us 9 months to dig through.
And the indemnification agreement was there that regardless of any of these things that happen, McConnell has to make the city whole.
Right.
As a result of lawsuits or any of the above.
Is that true, Mr. Dubin?
Yes, it is.
For all of it. So
arising from the sale.
Okay, so, you know, the other question that was brought up by Mr. Jones was, well, they could bring in another appraiser and come in with a $7 million judgment. I mean, that's what he said.
Yeah. I know what he said.
Okay. There's no...
Yeah, there's an agenda to it. I mean, you know, he lost. And that measure lost. And so you're obviously going to be biased to a position. I mean, he's been saying all along that the land was worth $7 million.
You know, I said off the air, part of what we have to deal with as an elected official in government is people's perception.
Mm-hmm.
The perception is much stronger than the truth. And we know that.
And if
it is people's perception that you were trying to hide something, then that it gets all blown out of proportion.
That's the different part of it, is that if
but
there's
whose
perception? Well, that's
it. Isn't the perception of the people, I think, like Rick was pointing out, that had supported this. I don't think that's perception at all. It's the perception of the people who lost in the election.
Well, the editorial today in the Record Searchlight says they think that this is one of the things that should have been revealed.
And I sent a speak your piece into the editorial board there. 4 weeks, 5 weeks before the election, mm-hmm. a speaker piece by the mayor making an endorsements, it was never published. So do they selectively put in the paper what they want to put in the paper?
Well, of course they do.
And so, you know, so you got to weigh everything.
Okay, we've only got, like, what, 2 minutes left?
Yeah.
All right. No, that's okay. Mardell, do you have a question, a quick question?
The name is Mardell. No, I have comments. Since when is the 4-star hotel a museum? And some of the council knew about this letter, And the other question is, why not build a hotel where the Casablanca was and not have to deal with all the traffic congestion in the Civic Auditorium area? Yes, I voted no on the whole thing.
Okay, Mardell, thank you very much for your phone call.
You know, it's just that's that side of the argument.
That's,
you know,
and land's been sold. Just like this. One more time, though, I want just for people that are just tuning in, is as far as this whole thing with the EDA and all this, would you still make the same decision and not publicize it?
Yes, I would.
Mr. DuVernay, and you went along with that, of course.
Hindsight is always 20/20, and you can always come back and Monday morning quarterback. Everything was open. I wish people who are involved in this campaign had come into our offices and gone through the files with us and asked us questions, but they didn't. And if they had, they would have learned everything they wanted to know.
All right. Thank you very much for being with us today. We'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. The show continues after the news.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
And we had to sit there and wait for them to open the airspace back up again.
Sloppy mixture caused hundreds of flights to be grounded. As for driving in the wintry mix, AAA estimating some 41.3 million travelers would be on the road this week between Wednesday and Sunday. That's up 4.3% from last year. That also meant additional drivers on the roads in the area that was affected by the storm. The sidewalks of Manhattan packed with people to watch the giant inflated characters in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. This year's special features six new balloons at all, including Thomas the Tank Engine, Paddington Bear, and the Red Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. Something new to be thankful for this Thanksgiving Day in the battle against Ebola. Researchers say an experimental vaccine appears to be working. Now it's time to expand those clinical trials.
The proof of the pudding will always be to do a large trial and see if, in fact, in the real world, it does protect.
And that is Anthony Fauci, who is an infectious diseases expert. He says trials to see whether the Ebola vaccine are truly effective will soon begin in West Africa. Later today, Americans combine their gratitude with their love for football, and it includes the Dallas Cowboys hosting the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles quarterback Mark Sanchez.
It's huge. I mean, you hear fans talk about it all the time.
Both teams come into the game with designs on the top spot of the NFC East. Elsewhere, the Detroit Lions will be at home against the Chicago Bears. And this is SRN News.
Logo 6, the most advanced Bible study software, has now arrived. Logo 6's brand new lineup of tools and resources empower Christians to study the Bible's background, explore Greek and Hebrew, visualize the biblical world, and make new and exciting discoveries. Pastors will benefit from innovative tools like visual copy and cultural concepts to create engaging presentations. With Logos, spend less time searching, more time discovering. Discover the amazing new Logo 6. Visit logos.com. That's logos.com.
Honey, I had a premonition about Black Friday.
Let me guess. Long lines and tons of people.
Nope. I saw great deals at Staples.
Were you on Staples.com when you had this vision?
I don't recall, but it was clear as day.
Uh-huh.
Blowout prices on laptops and headphones. You got me a tablet.
Did I?
Yeah, we were in, out, and home in time to have breakfast in bed.
You saw all that.
You made omelets.
Omelets.
Have a stress-free Black Friday at Staples. Go to Staples.com for deals and coupons good on the hottest tech gifts all week long. Less stress, more savings. Staples.
The House Ethics Committee has announced another delay in its probe of New York Congressman Michael Grimm.
The second announced delay into allegations the New York Republican violated campaign finance laws. The first delay came a year ago at the request of the Justice Department. At that time, the Ethics Committee said it would announce any further delays on an annual basis. Grimm is accused of helping an Israeli national obtain a green card in exchange for help in soliciting campaign contributions. Grimm's the target of a separate investigation on a 20-count federal indictment related to tax issues on a Manhattan restaurant he used to run.
SSR's Wally Hines reporting an Australian cricket player has died 2 days after being struck on the head by a cricket ball during a match. The Australian team doctor says 25-year-old Philip Hughes never regained consciousness following the injury he sustained on Tuesday of this week. Hughes died today from bleeding in his brain. And this is SRN News. A Rhode Island company will give $300,000 in back wages to more than 100 disabled workers and staff for failing to pay overtime and even the minimum wage.
The agreement by the U.S. Department of Labor follows previous federal investigations and agreements with the state and the city of Providence for allegedly violating the rights of the disabled. The workers were segregated in so-called sheltered workshops, such as training through placement, often for little or no pay. The department says that it found that between June 2010 and January 2013, North Providence-based training through placement falsified documents, failed to pay employees for all the hours they worked, and other violations. Training through placement has since replaced its management. Keith Peters, SRN News.
OPEC oil ministers have decided to keep their present output target at 30 million barrels a day. That is despite an oversupply of crude oil and plunging prices as a result. More details at SRNNews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The following is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. Happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. It's Thursday. Linda's got on the spot with Linda Bott tonight.
And good morning.
Good morning. You know, we're going to go through the weather here. It's 8:05 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. We want to talk a little bit about what happened in that last half hour. You know, I want to finish up with that because there's been comments in
there. Lively.
There's comments in here, and there's...
You can go both ways.
I'm kind of torn on this one because for a couple of reasons that we'll talk about. What's the weather look like?
Well, it's 51 degrees in downtown Reading as we speak. We're looking for showers mainly before 4 p.m. this afternoon, a high near 51. It's about as warm as it's going to get today. And we're looking for continued showers, of 30% chance of rain on Friday. The weather, as always, is brought to us by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm friends.
You've got to say that with more feeling.
Our customers are warm friends.
There you go.
Warm. Okay, it's locally owned and operated, and they give veterans and senior discounts. Give them a call at 365-3793.
And that's why you need to call Alliance Heating and Air, because it's 51 degrees. I don't know about you, but 51 degrees and rain just makes my house a little chilly. And when that happens, I want to turn on the heater eventually. You know, Linda and I, thank goodness, we sleep cold. You know, I like it so it's frosty in there. I know when it's cold enough because Elk Killer then climbs up and gets between us when it's perfect sleeping weather, because even Elk Killer gets a little chilly there at night. But when we do get up in the morning, we hit that heater, we want it to run. We want it to run right now. We want warm air to come out, and Alliance Heating and Air is the ones that does it. They've taken care of our heating and cooling systems now for since we've been in the house. Get those filters checked. Make sure it works. Bad Bob said the same thing, Alliance Heating and Air. If you got an emergency, too, and you might be having an emergency now, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, any type of heating and cooling systems they can take care of. 221-2642. Give them a call, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Good people there.
You're right. That conversation kind of, there's things we didn't get. One of the things as an elected official that I always remember is how much information is too much. You learn so many things when you're making a decision, and it really is impossible to disclose, not that you're keeping things back, but it's almost impossible to tell the public everything you know that you based your decision on. That's why you're the elected official, and you bring all that stuff in. But the line is, you have to be very careful about whether you're not disclosing because it's just part of the process, or you know that it's going to change people's opinion about how they're looking at it.
And then who do you disclose it to?
If you're going to disclose
it. Missy knew about it, but Patrick and... I said this the other day. Patrick and Gary didn't know about it, but Missy did.
Didn't rise to a quorum.
Yeah.
Because you can't do serial meetings. You can't have three people know and two others not. It puts that perception that I was talking about there
before. The perception's there.
The perception is there that this was withheld because it would change people's minds, whether that was people on the council or people in the public.
But yet,
would it have? Probably not.
I'm sitting here looking Rick Bassetti and Rick DuVernay in the eyes here, and Bassetti's looking and saying, you know what? To me, it was a trivial matter. That was a decision we made then. I knew about it. The stuff was out on the table. People wanted to look. But, you know, we'd already done something before. I didn't think, you know, I know that DuVernay had told him that this is something that, you know, they're either going to be indemnified for. It's not going to be a big thing. The important thing was, is, okay, now that this has happened, Rick, when you look back at it, you think maybe you should have done that. Nope. I'd have done the same thing because it was still, he still considers it a very trivial matter, in the fact that, that McConnell's going to indemnify him. And worst case is, okay, we just won't close until June 26th.
Well, and I think maybe that's the key, but I still think that maybe where it comes down to is once this became knowledge, the problem that I'm having with it is I think they should have taken it off closed session, brought it up. And discussed it in open session.
That
because they
part.
Discussed it anyway, but they made such an issue about, we're not going to let you say anything. I'm only going to have my say. It got really mucky where it didn't need to.
Yeah, and I think that the fact is, for me, is, and they got this after they'd already voted, they got this part back, that it was early enough in the campaign, also the end of April, that should have been something like, hey, you know, let's throw this thing out there and then just handle it right there as being part of it. It wouldn't have made a difference. It doesn't make, he is right. It doesn't make a difference. The people voted no, we're still going to vote no.
Yeah.
And the people voting yes, would it have changed their minds? I don't think so, because when it come out and said, because the people who were voting yes on this were voting yes, and the people voting no were voting no. I didn't see too many wishy-washy, If I'd known this, I would have voted no. But full disclosure is the best way.
Well, and that's the bottom line on this issue. I always found that if I was thinking, maybe this is something that should be out there, then it probably should. And I always tried to stand in the side that, you know, if I think this is an issue, I better put it out there where everybody can look at it, because it's going to come back and bite you. And that's exactly what it
did. And
here's
some good questions. If it was factually trivial, then why hide it from the city council?
There you go.
And then the other one, they factually removed it from the agenda at a pre-election meeting. I don't remember that.
I don't know about that.
Because I don't think Patrick didn't know about it. He said
no.
After Patrick asked to be placed on the agenda. I'm not sure that that's true for the person that's put that in, because Patrick said he didn't even know about it till this thing hit last Friday.
Asked to have it put on, and then they took it out.
Yeah. Then they took it out.
So that was after the fact.
That was after the election.
And that's where the problem comes in my mind. The biggest part of the problem is once this came to surface, then put it all out there.
Are both those people on? Okay, let's go to the phones. Rob, good morning.
I think this is a reflection of what's wrong with government on everything from the national to the local level. If you got a health care law like Obamacare that was passed because it started out in the House where Pelosi says we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it, to the point to where after the fact the bill is passed and you have one of the architects of the bill saying, well, we intentionally left out this information because had we done this, the American people would have never gone for it. It's the same thing here this whole thing with the McConnell Foundation land deal is a microcosm of the systemic problem in politics, and the people's, they just get upset with it. Yeah.
Well, no, and Rob,
and I think
you're absolutely right.
That's the point I was making about perception.
Yeah, the whole thing is whether
guy on the city council who wasn't up for election, but yet here he is making snide remarks about someone who lost the election and say he's a sore loser. And it's like, I mean, I don't care about the guy. They've changed the city council meetings so that the people can't, you know, they look at their.
Yeah, what Rob's talking
Rob,
about
you're,
is they've
you're
changed.
Breaking up and
yeah,
we're
what,
having
what
hard
Rob's
time hearing.
What Rob's talking about is they've changed the time from being able to speak at the beginning of the council to the end of the council. But I think that had a drop dead date to the election. I think they're going to change it back. But if they don't, there's a good chance for the new city council to change it back so that people have a right to talk at the beginning of it, which of course is the best way. Otherwise, it's late at night and they don't have an opportunity.
I will tell you that for me personally, I think that there was absolutely no reason, no way that they should have put that public comment period at the end of the meeting.
No, that was wrong.
They could limit
the
time. They have all kinds of things in their bag to keep it to a good length of time. Limit the amount.
Yeah,
they could do all kinds of things.
They could have done it.
But they could have gone down to a minute if you got 80 people, depending upon how many people are there. But to absolutely move it to the end was just wrong.
We're up night and day, crafting our rule of law here. And that's like, if it's necessary, these people stay till midnight to hammer out an issue till the people are satisfied, then doggone it, that's what they're elected to do.
That's
what
they
should be doing it.
You're right, Rob. You're right. And the fact is that they should hear people at the beginning. Because Kayla Brown, who's a young mother, said, you know what? I have to be home with my kids. I can be here at 6 and I'd like to be able to be heard, but now you've taken that right away from me for an open meeting. And she's right. So I think one of the things that needs to be done at the beginning of the new session with the new city council is to be brought up again and see if they can do it. Then you're going to find out where indeed they stand. And the people that voted for him are going to be able to see where they stand on the fact of being able to listen to the people, which is what they all ran for. We will listen to the people. All right, Rob, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
You bet. Hey, we got to take a break. Terry, hang on. We'll get to you right after the break here. Carl Bott and Trish Clark. We'll be right back.
You're listening to an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. More after this.
Hi, this is Sharon, owner of Home Helpers, here to wish you a safe and happy holiday season. While spending time with family this joyous time of year, keep in mind some simple signs that mom and dad may be needing some more help at home. Many families notice changes in their loved ones while seeing them over the holidays. Is the mail stacking up? Have you seen past due notices? Have mom or dad forgotten to turn off appliances or failed to lock the doors at night? Check the refrigerator for food freshness and expiration dates. And check medications. Are they being refilled timely and taken properly? For more tips and information on how you can help, visit ReadingHomeHelpers.com or call me, Sharon, for an in-home assessment and learn more about Home Helpers and our many home care services. Call Home Helpers at 226-8350 or visit us online at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. This holiday season, give your loved one the gift of safely remaining at home. Happy holidays from Home Helpers.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
You've got to help me. I don't know if I'm going crazy or if my car is possessed. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. The owner's ordeal began after a collision repair, resulting in a car that had a mind of its own. It would suddenly pull violently left or right, but only when he was alone. He had taken the car back to the shop that repaired it. It was test driven 8 times. Nothing happened. Nobody believes me. They look at me like I'm crazy. Just minutes before he arrived at Coachmaster, the pulling struck again. My inspection revealed necessary framework and wheel alignment had not been corrected from the collision. At Coachmaster, we stock hundreds of blueprints. With this evidence, we proved the owner was not crazy and the car was not possessed. The insurance company authorized us to correct the vehicle. Coachmaster, Collision Repair, Redding, California.
Hello, folks. I'm here with our local hero, Bob the Drop from Mount Shasta Springwater. Bob, I want to thank you for all the support and good things that Mount Shasta Springwater does for our local communities.
You are welcome. And rest assured, we will continue to support our local friends and supply them with the best spring water in the world.
How can people get your great-tasting spring water, Bob?
Just call us at 1-800-922-6227.
That's 1-800-922-6227?
Yes, for the healthiest, best-tasting spring water in the world.
Happy Thanksgiving. We now return to this encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Thursday, November the 20th, 8:20 in the morning, 51 degrees out there. Rainy day today. Going to be rainy tomorrow. 605-4567 is our phone number. And we are streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Our regular guest that was going to be here was called away from air cover. And we're going to talk drones, but we're going to talk drones at another date. Let's go to the phones. Terry, good morning.
Hey, Trish. Hey, Carl. How are you doing?
Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Terry.
Hey, yeah, I got on just before 8 o'clock because when you announced it yesterday, I got the impression that they'd be on at the 8 o'clock hour, not at the early hour, number one. And I don't know if anybody asked this or not, so I hope I'm not being redundant.
That's okay. No, did
you ask them the question, Mr. Bassetti or Mr. DuVernay, did you have any conversation about this particular issue with Francie Sullivan or with Missy MacArthur? Did anybody ask that question?
It came up, actually, and it turns out that Missy was aware of it, but probably Francie was not.
And this was announced.
And maybe, but
No, Missy did know because I talked about this on Tuesday. I called Brooke Bassetti and I talked to DuVernay, and I got a hold of Missy. And Missy said she had heard about it. She knew about it. She couldn't say when she had heard about it. It wasn't like it was an official meeting or anything. But it was, but she couldn't even tell me when she heard it. But at some point, she knew about it. Yes, so she did know about it.
Tidbit. You could have asked them if there was emails that went between the three of them. And nobody really did ask Francie Sullivan. Is somebody going to ask Francie Sullivan if she knew or not? And the other question is, I know that I was there with my wife and sitting next to Paul McNeil. It was interesting looking at... watching the body language. I don't think I've ever seen Missy MacArthur drink a whole bottle of water ever at a meeting, but she drank it just during that discussion. And Mr. DuVernay never raised his eyes. And also, boy, he was like, oh, yeah, we need to talk about this. It needs to be transparent. We need to bring this up. And one other quick point. You know, I know that some people, they're saying, well, some people would vote this way and some people would vote that way. Well, frankly, I was a little bit torn in that I know we need business in Reading. Being a businessman, I understand that. But something like this, when I see a grant and knowing what I know about grants, and then the thing of poo-pooing it and saying, come on, no big deal, really? Gee, Congress has been contacted, the Attorney General's contracted, there's attorneys going, are you kidding? Oh, but it's no big deal. Come on, let's go play baseball. There's no big deal. They're just sore losers. I mean, in a lot of cases, I think we have to sort of start holding these people's really feet to the fire and not worry about maybe... being polite and being respectful, but having the courage to ask some tough questions and waiting till you receive that answer.
Terry, and I think that was exactly what we made the point of, and what my final say on this was, the grants, all grants have those kinds of use clauses in them. If the use changes for what you've received the grant for, that money generally diverts back to the agency that gave it to you in some manner or another. So that's kind of public knowledge and out there. As an elected official, I always made the call that if I think it's controversial and I think it's something that's going to come back and bite you, you better disclose it up front.
Well, and you're right.
That's the decision in my mind that should have been made. And I found it served me well for 20 years that if it was going to come out later, you better put it out up first.
And the fact is that Mayor Bassetti said if he had to do it all over again, he'd do the same thing. That he considered it a matter that was trivial. And how Missy found out about it, I don't know if it was emails, but Missy said it was not an email. She said she had heard about it.
She was, and she couldn't remember when. So that is, it wasn't official. When I asked her, is it an official meeting? And she said, but she said, no, it wasn't an official thing. So obviously people weren't set down. And I didn't get a hold of Francie. Probably should have, but so should probably the Record Searchlight. As for asking them about the, and asking if they should have, you know, should they have, put that out? Yeah. Is the fact that it was on Duvernay's desk? As somebody points out here, is that it's just because it's on Duvernay's desk doesn't mean is that we can find it. But the information was out there.
Well, the information had been out there since April 24th.
Yeah, but nobody saw it.
But the other question I have for is that Trish, and being an elected official at one time and a very good one, I would say, I voted for you.
Thank you.
And, usually when these things happen like this, and especially when you have something to this level where there is a string like that attached, and we all know that they are, and you knew about it as mayor, and you whether this would impact or not, the people should know. You just got through saying you wouldn't hold it back. Did Mr. Bassetti ever say why he held it back, and if it's not that big a deal, why is it such a big deal now? I'm sure that behind closed doors it was.
Well, he said because he felt that it was something that they were, and in all fairness, what the letter says is because you're selling the museum, which in fact they're not selling the museum. So right away, the premise of the letter is inaccurate. And there are two ways to get out of it. They're indemnified if it costs them any money, and they can just wait till June to close the escrow, and then it goes away. So that was his reasoning as to why he didn't feel that it would impact the sale of the property.
Well, actually, in the letter that he got dated November the 10th from his attorney, it doesn't really state that in Section 4. I'm sure you have a copy of that. You might want to read that.
Well, we're looking at the letter that they got on April 24th.
And it states that
the EDA has reviewed the City of Reading's proposal to sell the Turtle Bay Museum. Well, they're not selling the church. So right away, the premise of the letter is inaccurate.
Well, exactly.
And Rick stated that that's the reason they felt that all they needed to do is clarify the issues, and it was just one of those other things that needed to be done.
Well, there's something else that I heard, and I was hoping that one of you would ask this question, and that is, I heard that McConnell Foundation is only liable up to $600,000 on this, and the City of Reading would have to carry the rest of the debt. I know that they
nobody knows, but nobody knows if that's true. Nobody knows if that's true.
Wait, Trish.
Where does it say that in writing there, Terry?
I'm asking you a question.
No, that's what I said. No, they said it on the show. Go back and listen. That McConnell Foundation would indemnify them for all of this. And if that didn't, like Trish said, they will indemnify them, or it goes away in June. But they did say that. They both stated that, Duvernay and Bassetti.
Well, it says in the letter I'm looking at, it could indemnify it.
They're saying that. Okay, another private one I told them to, they're discussing about that happened in closed session. I said, you need to release that one too then. But it just says is that, the fact is that, Patrick Jones says this is a huge thing, that this could go to the Attorney General, that this is going to be brought up in investigations. That was yesterday. Today, Rick Bassetti and Rick Duvernay said they didn't feel like it was a big thing, that this is going to go away. And I have seen a November 10th letter, and that was asked. So, thanks, Terry.
You bet.
That's the problem with these things.
No, see, this is it. See, and there's not that the questions Terry's not asking are good. It's the fact is that you've got the people that we've elected, and that's Rick Bassetti, who is doing the negotiation, says that he, the way he understands it, this was not a big thing. They had already handled another one from the EDA, and now this one. Now, the Reading Search says, oh, no, all this should be open to the public, and probably it should be. It probably should be. But the fact is it voter fraud if it's not? I'm not an expert on voter fraud, but is it available or is it hidden? It was in the open records of it because that was part of the sale.
It was part of the grant.
Part of the grant.
And the original grant is, And quite truthfully, as I stated on the air earlier, that is a clause in any of these grants that we get for all kinds of things, when the change of use clause is in there almost always.
And we have a comment from Khartoum. Khartoum, I like it. Okay, yeah, Khartoum. The whole thing is collusion between the council and McConnell. And see, that's been going on.
And
since,
that's part of our perception problem.
That's part of the perception problem.
You have to,
City council has to break this totally. Things are happening. You've got a new city council, which some people are going to say, no, McConnell's going to love that. They've still got Missy and they've got Francie
and Schrader and
Brent Weaver, who all three of them are now back on, are still on the council. Gary Gadd could be lonely there. But, you've got to give the city council a chance. You've got to see what they're going to do.
Well, I think that with all of this controversy and perception in the community about this collusion, whether it's true or it isn't true, it certainly is an issue. And I would think that the council could be really put themselves out and above if they'd go in there and immediately put that open period time right back up at the front of the meeting again. And whenever they come across an issue that they think might be controversial, we better be airing it right out there and let people have a look at it as opposed to trying to hide it.
This one should have been aired. I know you can look back in hindsight, and this is what
Duvernay
says, you look back at it. But, yeah, this should have come up. Anything that had an impact on the sale, anything of the 20, put all
certainly
20 of them.
Certainly the price and how much it was going to cost.
Put all 20 of them out there, the 20, 25 things that had, grant restrictions or any of this stuff should have been thrown out there back in when they found out about it. In this case, it was the end of April. Should have been.
I think on this issue
if it was minor and it had no impact, and because they could have addressed it all. But now, because it gives people that are really fired up who hate the idea of the sale, it gives that side of it or that group of people see another example, and then let's pursue it through. As Terry says, now it's going to the state attorney general. Now, whether the state attorney general does anything is another thing.
Sure keeps it up in the air.
But that's the other thing is, why keep this thing up in the air when you could have solved this thing months ago?
Yeah.
See, the election would have gone, everything would have been handled. One way or the other, it would have been over, and we could have started getting together again. We've got to take a break here. Carl Bott and Trish Clark.
Listening to an encore presentation of Free Fire Radio, previously broadcast. Happy Thanksgiving. More after this.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find fine ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Our world needs caring professionals to make a positive impact in our communities. Simpson University's Master's in Counseling Psychology degree prepares you for a career in marriage and family therapy. Our award-winning faculty brings practical clinical expertise and research into the classroom. Attend classes in the evening and earn your degree in just 2 years. Apply before March 1st. Classes begin in August. Be empowered to make a difference. Call today at 1-888-9-SIMPSON or visit us online at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past 2 years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at WallnerPlumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
Hey, this is Carl in the Bot. Bob has something he wants to say.
Hey, it's Bad Bob, producer for Free Fire Radio, heard right here Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 on KCNR. It is the Thanksgiving weekend, and we want to wish every one of our listeners a great holiday with family and friends. We'll be playing Best Of episodes on Thursday and Friday, so be sure to tune in while you're getting over the turkey. It's KCNR 1460. If you're thinking about it, we'll talk about it. This is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio. Happy Thanksgiving.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Thursday, November the 20th, with Carl Bott and Trish Clark. Linda's got on the spot with Linda Bott tonight, of course. 8:35 in the morning, 51 degrees. It's going to be rainy. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. Our customers are warm, friends. 605-4567 is our phone number. And this portion of the show brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue. Man's Last Stronghold, discounts for seniors and veterans. A great group of guys down there. Great haircuts. The cheers of barbershops. Cypress Square Barbershop in the Cypress Square Shopping Center across from Subway. Okay. Let's go to the phones. We got a lot of people on the phone, say.
Okay, Billy Bob on line one.
Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hey, listen, I had to call in because Bossetti made a snide comment, like the previous caller mentioned, about Patrick Jones being a sore loser, which we all know he's not. And that prompted my call, and now I'm mad.
Okay.
And the thing is that this whole thing is a chocolate mess. They're nowhere near out of the woods. The unions are going to sue. The attorney general, or whatever happens there, it is voter fraud. It definitely is. And the non-disclosure, and that's how you put it, non-disclosure is undeniable, and it shall be dealt with. So anyway, good show as usual. Thanks.
Okay, Billy Bob. Okay, non-disclosure is because they didn't tell everything, or is it non-disclosure if it's not available, if they're hiding it, or is it because there's, okay, should all, this is just one part of like 15 things that were in part of the grants and all that. I mean.
And the other part of it is that real estate transactions are one of the things that are allowed to be discussed behind closed doors and in closed session. That is one of the things that the Brown Act allows that not be given out when you're going through real estate negotiations.
Mm-hmm.
So,
the thing is that all those are public record, though. If somebody had gone back and looked at the sale of land back in 1995, they would have seen all these codicils, and they would have seen all these grant restrictions, right?
Oh, absolutely, because the grant restrictions are in there in almost every grant.
And unlike some other people that are blaming the revolt side on it, who said, well, why didn't you go back and check all this? Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons. You know, I actually didn't know that my house was in a floodplain in Hawaii, and the guy that sold it to me said, well, you should have known that. Well, how should I have known that?
Because
they didn't tell me. They didn't tell me. Nor did they have it in there because they missed it.
Oh, okay.
And because they missed it. But I should have checked that myself. And I went, why would I have checked that? I bought my house from you. You know, you didn't say it was in a floodplain. This was after the flood,
of
course.
Did you win that argument?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I set his car on fire.
Well, and that's how this is all.
Hey, he wouldn't pay me. I set his car on fire. You know, it was the statute of limitations are way over on that one. So, nah, I'm just kidding. Come on. I wouldn't set a person's car on fire. I took his dog.
Okay. Now, but here's the point is that when in doubt as an elected official, I'm going to say it again, you need full disclosure. We live right now, certainly in a time when the people do not trust their government. And there is a really good reason for that, because this kind of microism that we've seen right here is going on way bigger all the way to the top.
And, you know, there's something else.
The American people, a lot of us are just flat tired of
it. And that's the thing. You see, this is where it goes back to, and Rob had a really good point and called earlier, was
that people, and this is what we were talking earlier too, is that we don't, the people don't trust the government.
That's
they don't,
right.
And they don't
for
believe in transparency. Obama comes in, some of the most transparent government ever. Of course, that was a lie. But at the city level, this is city. This is our city in Reading. This is not New York or Chicago, our city in Reading. There should be full transparency. Now, whether you think that something is should be out is one thing. That was the judgment call, all right? But the should be is the judgment should be is instead of just moving forward, it's throw everything out there and let the people muddle through it because then, you hey, it was out there.
But then we go back to the whole thing about the representative form of government. We elect the people to make the decision. I think the key here
well, I meant that is if that you if have you it out there, they can look at it.
Exactly. But if you felt comfortable discussing this with the people in the city council who were on your side but didn't feel comfortable discussing it with some with the people that you knew would just argue about it, then maybe it was something that should have been disclosed to everybody.
That's true. Okay, let's go to the phones.
Henry.
Henry, good morning.
Yes, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Hey, this has got people all, you know, this is a good subject here. What,
well,
what you
yeah,
got here?
And I'm just wondering if we should have a Tammany Hall or Hot Dome.
Or what, Khartoum?
Or maybe those guys should have took lessons from the city of Reading, but Ben said that. You know, the part that's almost ironic is the fact that this whole thing came about because they didn't want to pay prevailing wage.
Yes.
Now, it's very possible that if the government does a fair market value appraisal on that property and calls it in, and the taxpayers of the city of Reading have to pay 72% of it back, and it could run into the millions of fair market value, they could have paid prevailing wage to begin with, and the whole darn thing would have been done.
Yeah, but Henry, here's you know what?
Hindsight 50-50.
And that's true, but there's the other thing, too, is what Bassetti was saying is, hey, we offered money up front to the unions, and we were told it was going to happen, and 4 months went by, and it finally came back from Sacramento or from higher up that, no, we're not going to accept your offer. Which would have been the, you know, the difference in the, you know, at, and, or, you know, would have been, you know, in hundreds of thousands of dollars for the unions. He said, nobody said anything about that. Well, frankly, I didn't know about that until after the election was in full swing.
Well, I didn't either.
Yeah, nobody did because nobody said anything about it, it appears. But here's the bottom line is the fact that if the city decides to, they can say, fine, closing, escrow closes on June the 27th and all this goes away. So that in itself, the cost is mox and nix. It's the fact of should they have told people about it. There's the crux of the problem.
No, and there's another thing you don't understand, that if intent was there,
yeah,
the 27th of June does not make any difference. That can still be brought before civil action and still be collected on.
Okay.
Now, you talk to any attorney, he'll tell you that.
Okay.
If the intent was to defraud the government, that date doesn't mean a thing.
All right, Henry. Thanks a lot. Thanks for your phone call.
You bet. Bye.
You bet.
You know, I don't think, I haven't read those completely, the letters that are involved in this, but it's certainly from what I do know about the grant process. It appears to me that there's a couple of things that aren't relevant here, and one of which is they're not selling the museum. No, second thing is they're not changing the use. And those are two of the prevailing things about whether or not that clause comes into effect as a change of use.
Yeah, and they do not believe, the city attorney doesn't believe that, and they've talked back to the people back with the EDA. So, but they, see that's not the point. I don't think.
The point is about whether they should have been set.
Okay, let's go to line one. Coach Bob, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Hey, quick thing. You know, I was anti Measure B from the beginning, and still am. But I'm curious, with all of the due diligence that the anti people had, Tom Corrado and everybody else, and they seem extremely well prepared, all things considered, why didn't they know about this if it's readily available at Duvernay or whoever's office? I'm just curious why that of all people they should have known or had access to this and why they didn't.
Yeah, you know, and that's a good question. We talked about that a little while ago, is that this is the sale of land in 95. Was, you know, all of that is open records. And this thing from the EDA and the grant from the Commerce Department, all that was in there. Now,
Is it something that they should have been looking for? Should their people have researched through it? Probably. But it was one of those, but they didn't. So, but the point is if some of the city council knew about it, shouldn't all the city council know about it?
Well, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and I think that's the question.
Even now, I mean, you can look at it in the hindsight thing is that Rick Bassetti, Mayor Bassetti, still says, you know what, I'd do this, make the same decision again. We go forward with it. It's not a big thing to him because he says it's a non-issue. The non-issue, it's the sale of this, and that is a non-issue. It's, again, it's everybody knowing about it, which is what you're saying.
Well, you know, what they say in court is, well, you tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The whole truth wasn't exposed here, and that's what disturbs
to me. Everybody.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
You bet. Thanks, both of them. You bet. Hey, you know what? We got to take a break here. I'm kind of glad my guest didn't show up. This allows a lot of people to. People got some good points here.
Well, I think they do, and you know, the other issue is we're looking at this with the elections at the federal level, and we don't trust our government.
Yeah,
so that whole perception of about what in the world are they hiding from us, and then you get right back down here to the city of Reading, the city we live in. And they're doing the same thing as they're doing it. Is it?
Or at least the illusion is there.
The illusion is there that we're just not being told what's happening.
And perception becomes reality.
There you go.
Okay. Hey, we got to take a break. Hey, this portion of the show, those been brought to you by Northern Firearms Instruction. Ted Leidy and his team of professionals are offering a once in a lifetime chance here this time, and it's not too late. We've got spots for three more people. We can put three more people in this, and that's this weekend's concealed carry course, and it is a tax deductible fee that goes to support and don't get them confused here, but this goes to it goes to support an exhibit at the at Turtle Bay, the Liberty on the Border about the Civil War, which I am just, you know, a Civil War aficionado. So, but Ted Leidy and his people are all volunteering their time. $150 for this course. If you don't have a pistol, it will be provided for you as part of that one fee, pistol and ammunition, all of this. And if you want to get in on this class, there's just a couple spots left there. Give Ted a call at 999-1822. Or check out his website at readingccw.com. Hey, we'll be right back after these messages. We got the phone lines filled.
And this is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio Happy Thanksgiving.
The countdown to Christmas is on. Find your perfect Christmas at the amazing shops downtown. Carousel on Yuba Street is brimming with stylish designer clothes, beautiful handmade jewelry, and artwork made by local artists and fabulous scented candles. Get your girlfriends together and throw a private party for a fun way to celebrate this holiday season. That's Carousel at 1555 Yuba Street. Unique stores and more in beautiful downtown Reading. It's Christmas in the making.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know, and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family-owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
The Patriot Gold and Silver Exchange sells a wide variety of freeze-dried emergency foods. But in times of crisis, all you need to do is add hot water. To help you heat that water, the Patriot now carries the Sun Rocket Solar Water Heater and Thermos. This amazing compact device can heat to a boil 2 cups of water in just over an hour using just ordinary sunlight. Use it in meal preparation, melt snow for drinking, and eliminate Giardia and other waterborne bacteria through heat pasteurization. It's ideal for camping, picnics, and sporting events, and essential in any home or auto emergency kit. Remember, peace of mind is selling your gold and silver coins and bullion for a fair price. It's protecting your wealth with gold and silver. It's knowing your family has access to nourishing quality food and emergency supplies in times of distress. The Patriot is your peace of mind store. Don't pay more and wait weeks for delivery. In Reading, we're located in the Sunset Plaza at 3637 Eureka Way, next to the Roundtable. In Chico, we're located on East Avenue in the Safeway Marketplace. In Corning, we're in the Olive Tree Plaza. And in Palisadro, we're in the Holiday Marketplace. Come to the Patriot and get peace of mind today for less.
Have you found yourself stranded with a dead battery and need a jump? Instead of calling that expensive tow truck, call Reading Yellow Cab, and we'll do it for only $20. Running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of the year, Reading Yellow Cab will cater to the needs of your parents, seniors, or children who need to travel throughout the city and county, no matter the hour. Call Reading Yellow Cab, and we will do your shopping, give rides to the hospital, airport, hotel, and many other destinations. Call us at 222-1234.
Hi, this is Linda Bott. Join me here on KCNR 1460 AM at 6 p.m. on Thursday nights for On the Spot with Linda Bott. You'll hear wonderful interviews with musicians, artists, winemakers, chefs, business owners, and designers, just to name a few. Girls just want to have fun, and we do. Thursday nights at 6 p.m. right here with On the Spot with Linda Bott. Brought to you by Dandelion Boutique, Crackmaster Windshield and Repair, and Wind River Casino and Hotel.
Happy Thanksgiving. This is an encore presentation of a previously broadcast Free Fire Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Did they hear that last part about going to jail?
I don't think so.
Okay, good. Hey, Carl Bott and Trish Clark, we're back. We you know what? We came back a little bit early because we got a lot of people on the lines here. We're talking about the not necessarily just the sale of the land to the McConnell Foundation, it's done, but the
transparency in government.
Let's go to line two. Mark Kent. Mark, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
We're fine, Mark.
Good, good. Just some quick facts here.
Okay.
Now, who is the biggest landholder in the city? I think it's McConnell. Does McConnell pay property taxes on the land that they hold because they're a 501c3? I don't think so. Who spends $400 for a $600 or $600,000 piece of property, you know? And why is it that Mike Warren knew about this, the McConnell Foundation knew about this, everybody knew about this except the guys that were opposed this, opposed to this measure? You know, when you add this all up, it does not pass the smell test. And this looks exactly like what I think it is a quid pro quo payback to the McConnell Foundation for whatever. Just my opinion.
Okay, Mark. Thank you very much. Sungoat, who is a very reasonable listener who is on our chat room, says, due diligence was not done properly. Would anybody go back to the grant and review the restrictions? However, she says, this is really a big deal here. And they are trying to brush it off as a casual thing that happened. And Sungoat is the silent majority out there. It's when you hear that, it makes you know other people are thinking the same thing. Let's go to the phones. Red, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Carl. Hey, so I've been listening to you guys kick this thing around, and one of the points that seems to be being missed here is not whether or not the EDA may put the clawback in effect. They have ruled that the clawback is in effect.
That's true. They have.
So they, knowing that the clawback was in effect and could potentially affect the city for millions of dollars and not disclosing that, is voter fraud. It's pertinent information.
Well, the letter says that the EDA has reviewed the City of Reading's proposal to sell the Turtle Bay Museum to a local philanthropic organization. And it mentioned, and then talks about how they're going to do the clawback on it. But there's... then the letter says that the McConnell Foundation has not, but would. It didn't say that it's in, you know, that they, you know, had it in writing right there, but they said they would
indemnify. Now, that was the second letter. So you're right. And the point is, and this is the one that Patrick Jones is making, is that they could bring in another appraiser. And that's the point you're making. It could be worth, you know, a lot more than what it says.
But when they talk about the due diligence of the citizens,
yeah,
our due diligence of citizens is hiring and employing and paying for a city staff that is supposed to serve the interests of the citizens. That is our due diligence. That is what we do as citizens. We entrust them to carry forth our interests, and they are not doing so.
The real issue, this is from another one of our listeners, is the real issue is, are we being lied to through omission by our city council and city staff? We pay them, and they hide the truth from us. This is one comment from it. So you're saying is that even though that this is something that, could, if it was addressed back in April, would have been off the table by now, right?
Well, no, it would be on the table because it would have been pertinent to the elections.
But if it had been addressed in last April and they'd thrown it out there saying, hey, this is one of the things that could happen, then this wouldn't be coming up right now, right? Because they would have opened it up to comments.
It very well could have influenced the election. If the citizens of Reading were aware that this could potentially cost them millions of dollars, do you think that would have influenced their vote?
It could have.
Yeah, it would have. But the thing about it is, would it have, it goes back, would have, could have here.
But the bottom line is, should have been released. Yes, it should have been. No, I don't think you're not getting an argument about that. What I'm saying is that it needed to be addressed. If it was addressed back then, the election would have been over now, one way or the other. This subject would have been closed. So,
and that's a good point.
And now it's open, and it's going to keep going on. And the other thing I would like to point out that a lot of people are missing
is this entire thing. The damage that is being done to Turtle Bay is significant.
Yeah.
And the damage that McConnell and the actions of the city and the actions of other people in the city have done the damage to Turtle Bay over this issue is really kind of sad.
You know what? That's a good point that nobody's made, Red, and I'm glad you did that, because Turtle Bay is caught in the middle of this, and, you know, all they want to do is keep Turtle Bay open. And it's gotten into a personality conflict and all these other things, and I think the people supporting Turtle Bay are still supporting Turtle Bay, but you're right, there's another group out there that could be doing it too. That's a good point. Hey, we got Gary Cadd on the line. Get Red. Thanks a lot for your phone call.
Thank you.
Gary, good morning. Gary Cadd, Reading City Councilman.
Good morning.
Good morning, Gary. you're live.
Carl just made a statement a minute ago about if this had been brought forward back in April, this would all be taken care of. The city of Reading, from my understanding, Sue Thompson has an ongoing email with the EDA up in Seattle, and that ongoing is still going today. So even if it had been brought public back then, it looks as though it would not have been taken care of at this time.
Well, yeah, but what I meant though is that the point would have been it would have been out there on the table.
Oh yeah, no, sure. It should have been out on the table a long time ago.
That's the point I'm making. You know, and would it have been settled, and the election would have been over. So that's the point I'm making. So Gary, you're saying you never heard about this until when?
Until I got my packet last Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock when the courier brought my packet for the coming city council meeting to the house, and I opened it up and looked at it. That's when I found out about it.
Now, do you believe that this is something?
And is the roof still on your house?
Pardon me?
And is the roof still on your house?
No, it's not. I have to have a new roof put on.
Gary, was it briefed to you? I mean, have y'all even talked about this at all in closed or open session?
No. No, okay. The only time we've talked about it was at the meeting the other night when I brought it up.
So I guess what they're going to do is let the new city council figure this one out?
Well, I know on Channel 7 News last night, Francie sent a text to Jennifer Scarborough saying that this issue would not be brought back before council again. I do not recall that being in the motion. I think I'd have flipped out if it was. But I'll go back and listen to the exchange all over again. And it can be. It's going to have to be brought back, because the only reason they brought it forward in the first place was to have McConnell indemnify the city. And the way it's written at the moment, it does not do that. And in the packet on the last page of Duvernay's report, it said McConnell would indemnify.
You're right.
In other words, we're going to have to go through it and vote on it before they can do it.
So it's got to be brought back up again.
Sure it does. There's no other way around it. That's the reason why I did what I did. I didn't want them talking about it in closed session. I want to have it out in the public so all of us can have a conversation about it.
It still takes a 3-2, right?
Well, it's going to take 3-2 to win. It's probably going to go, 2-3, or maybe 1-4 with the new council. I mean, I can't say what other people are going to do.
Right.
I mean, it might be 3-2 win to bring it back out.
At some point, this needs to also be brought out and be finished out in the public. I mean,
yes,
it's got to
yes.
be. And
yes,
whether whether this thing waits till the end of June where it goes away and nothing happens as far as the cost of anything, which it could, but it still goes back into, you know, now people are fired up and they're calling the attorney general and all this, and it's all this is going on because of people feel it's non-disclosure.
Well, that's what people are doing.
Do you believe that? Do you think it was non-disclosure?
I'm sorry?
Do you believe it was non-disclosure and it was done on purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
All right. Gary Cadd, Reading City Councilman. Thanks for the call, Gary.
You bet. Talk to you later.
You bet. Well, it's a good way to end the show here.
Better to put it all out there and you know, when we try to hold things back from the public as elected officials, we create that perception, and the perception is reality. Not a good plan.
Tomorrow we got Simpson University and a number of other people coming in here to talk about what's going on there. Next week we have Maurice Johannesson's coming in. We've got a number of things happening next week. Maurice Johannesson, the senator, had some great news. People weighing in on this, what he's planning and doing out there. What a great guy he is. Right before Thanksgiving. And remember, tonight's On the Spot with Linda Bott tonight. Trish, again, thank you so much.
I love Thursday mornings.
Love
always
Thursday
like
mornings.
Sharing time with the North State.
There you go. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. You can stand which are you? Me up
at the gates of hell, but I won't back down.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. On this Thanksgiving Day, 2014... Those people in New York up early today making sure they get a good spot along the route of the iconic Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. The parade is a tradition along with Thanksgiving Day shopping, which is fast becoming an American tradition. Many big retailers planning to open at 6 this evening, and they'll stay open right through Black Friday. This guy's been in line outside a Virginia Best Buy store since Tuesday.
Deals is pretty good, you know, 50-inch TV for $200. Mm-hmm. I guess, you know, one day you can't, you know, one day, once a year, you know, camping out like this.
The St. Louis Thanksgiving Day Parade was canceled because of the recent unrest in suburban Ferguson, Missouri. But construction worker Paul Byrd thinks that's a shame. He set out to do something about it.
Can I say it?